Our first and primary presentation is Larry Hale, who works for the MBTA. Larry, I'm afraid I don't know your total title, so feel free to correct me.
You can just call me a program coordinator.
So welcome. We're glad to have you here. We're interested in having you talk with us about sort of accessibility on the T and maybe listening to some of our suggestions and ideas about ways to make it more accessible. And I'm particularly interested in talking about ways to use technology to make it more accessible for us, too.
Thank you. Just been asked to talk with you guys a little bit about ways in which the T is trying to make things accessible for people who have low vision or no vision. And there are several innovations that are happening as we speak now. For one, there are spots on the platform that we're looking to kind of spruce up a little bit so that people who need assistance from transit officials or transit police will be able to go to and get assistance. We call it a customer assistance area, and this customer assistance area is good for a variety of reasons. One is based on what I just said before. You know, if someone needs assistance, they'll be able to go to this location, press a button. There's a camera there, so the people who answer knows exactly who's talking to them and makes it easier for them to be able to dispatch a member of staff out to assist them. The other thing is, from a safety standpoint, sometimes it could be a challenge when you're trying to find the door of the train and making sure that you don't go in the point between two trains. There was a story in LA where a person who was visually impaired actually ended up going between the two trains and I believe actually died. From a safety standpoint, this customer assistance area thing is a good thing because the inner edges of the customer assistance area zone will always be in an area that's not between the two trains. So if you find an opening within this customer assistance area zone, it's always going to be a doorway. So from a safety standpoint, I think that that's really a good thing. From a visual impairment standpoint, right now, without the customer assistance area, it's really difficult to figure out where those call boxes are. And one of the big things that the T is pushing nowadays is being able to use that call box to call for assistance if you need assistance and finding the exit to the station or finding another station platform or whatever the case may be. So by having a customer assistance area on the station platform, it helps you get a general idea of where those call boxes are going to be. Generally speaking, a call box will always be within the customer assistance area. So that's one innovation that's happening now. Another thing that's actually happening, countdown clocks. Everybody's heard about it in the news. The T has started having arrival times displayed and, thank goodness, announced on station platforms. It was debuted at South Station. Some of you guys who actually use the Red Line may have heard it a little bit at Park Street Station now. Really good innovation. And believe me, you know, it was definitely a battle trying to make sure that they actually had it in audio. Prior to having these talking arrival time screens, they had these little rectangular boxes, particularly at Government Center, and I think there was one other station. And it would show you when the train actually would arrive at the station, but it wasn't in audio, which was not good. So the fact that they actually have something like this is actually a big deal. Another thing that people may not know anything about is at Ruggles, there's actually a display screen that can announce information audibly as well as display information visually. And it doesn't only just tell you about bus arrivals, it also will tell you information about subway arrivals. So if you're at Ruggles Station, you go to the fare gate, there's like a big display screen that has information about bus and subway arrival times. And that was actually made accessible as well. Back to the countdown clocks, we actually had people with visual impairments, Dave Kingsbury came down as well, kind of looked at what was going on with the arrival time screen. We actually got some really good feedback from those people that actually attended. Some of the feedback that we got focused on making sure that the announcements were crisp and clear, making sure that there wasn't a lot of unnecessary wording just to tell you that the next Red Line train, the ALF, is arriving in 2 minutes. One of the things that was at least discussed in some transit agencies, like in California, California and actually in Miami, they actually use different voices, like a male voice and a female voice, depending on the direction of travel of the train at that particular station to let people know how many minutes it would take for the train to arrive. So if you take South Station, for example, you may hear a female's voice telling you the next train to Ashmont and Braintree is arriving in 5 minutes. And on the opposite platform, you may hear a male voice saying the next train to Ashmont or the next train to Alewife is arriving in X minutes. And sometimes that can help in terms of giving you an idea of what you can cancel out, because let's face it, you're hearing a lot of announcements, service information, train approaching, train arriving announcements. You know, you sometimes can hear a lot of announcements. So sometimes having a male or female voice can kind of give you an idea of what you can drown out depending on, you know, which way you're traveling. So at least that idea was kind of put to the T, and, you know, it's my hope that, you know, at least they give it some thought and explore whether something like that would actually work. One final thing that we're working on, and it's very much in planning phase now. One major issue for people with visual impairments is wayfinding, how to get through that complex South Station area. It was a group from UMass Amherst who created a project called Percept, and it basically uses RFID tags placed at various decision-making points in a station to provide you with information. As time progresses, you'll be able to just kind of take a picture of the area in which you're located, and it would be able to give you information about where you are and give you information about where you need to go. The goal is to try to do as much as we can to kind of help with the navigation process once you're inside a station. Like I said, we're in process with that. We're currently looking at a bunch of different funding sources. Once we've obtained funding, the goal is to actually do a pilot of this in like a very simple station to see whether it actually would work for people. And if it ends up being really successful, then it'll be something that's further expanded to the system, provided we get more funding to actually do that.
You were talking about these call boxes. Where are they?
They're typically on station platforms and station lobbies. For a person, well, actually for any person, let alone person who has difficulty seeing, and they can be really difficult to find. And one of the reasons why the customer assistance area is being created is to kind of assist with being able to identify where those call boxes
are. Right, so my question is, this customer assistance area, how is that going to be delineated so you're going to know where it is?
With the customer assistance area, there are a bunch of accessible features, one of which is tactile surfacing. The tactile surfacing that we use at the customer assistance area is slightly different from the tactile warning strip at the platform edge. For one, the tactile warning strip at the platform edges use truncated domes. The surfacing that will denote the edges of the customer assistance area zone will actually be tactile bars. You know, it should have a different feel from the tactile warning strip. So
are there going to be tactile bars that you feel with your feet?
Feet and white cane, yes.
And some of the stations where assistance is limited or non-existent, how will that work? For example, Wollaston Station, there are times when I know for certain there's no assistance there. You go to a call box, what's the response time?
When you press a button, one of the first things it does is it goes to the closest hub stations. There are basically about four hub stations throughout the MBTA network. You press the button, it goes to the closest hub station. If no one else answers, it kind of cycles through hub stations until someone answers. Someone within that hub station will answer, and then they would dispatch a member of staff to that location.
So in a true blue emergency, they're really not going to be very effective.
There's typically two buttons on a call box. There's the info button, and then there's the police, the emergency button.
And these are audio?
The buttons that you press actually have Braille and raised letters on them.
I go to a call box. I push a button. How do I know that the transmission has been received? And
you'll actually hear it dial. Like when you press the button, you will actually hear it dialing. And
when you're in the elevator.
Yeah, and when someone picks up, it actually says the location that you're located, and then you hit a person. So they're difficult to find. hand, and that's something that the T recognizes.
When are these new tactily distinguishable areas going to be put in place? Is this something that's immediate or in the...
So it's actually, it started now. If you want to see the area at present, there's actually one located on the southbound platform of South Station, Alewife Braintree bound. The way that it's set up, there's 4 2-foot-long tactile bars. If you were trailing the wall, you would actually catch it.
Okay.
Or if you were trailing along the tactile warning strip, mm-hmm. you would actually catch it. So one of the things that we did when we were rolling this out is we actually had an O&M instructor kind of take a look at it. And we kind of looked at the path of travel and stuff like that. Granted that there are going to be people around. Unfortunately, you know, stations do get crowded.
But okay, so you get to this tactile area, and then there's a box there?
So within the area. So if you think of a box, you know, you have four corners. If you're traveling along the platform, if you're trailing along the wall, you would find one edge of the customer assistance area. If you were to continue straight along the wall, you would find the opposite end. Somewhere in between that zone is actually where the call box would be. In some cases, it's actually going to be on the bar tile closest to the wall.
I ride the buses a lot, and just at least once on the course of a ride, they'll say something like, please make emergency seating available for elderly and disabled. Whatever. If you see any strange articles, whatever, there could be just something like that on the over the PA, just every 5 or 10 minutes say, all boxes are associated at such and such a place. For the people that aren't in this room now to hear them, just don't know they're there. Like
well, I think as time goes on and we eventually roll this out to every station, I think that's actually a really good idea to tell them that call boxes are actually located in the customer assistance area and station lobby areas.
I go through Copley Station every day, going to work and coming home from work. And there are still tons of cases, particularly, I notice it during Red Sox games, particularly where you have trains pulling into the station and there is either no announcement as to what train it is, or the announcement is so low that with the fans and everything running, you can't even hear it.
The ambient noise and a bunch of other things. Welcome to my world, because I've been complaining about that since I started.
But mostly there are no announcements.
No, it's sometimes there are announcements, but because of the ambient noise in the station, you're unable to hear it. Or sometimes the announcement occurs before the train even enters the station. There's many reasons why you may not hear the announcement, things like that. The short way of answering your question is we recognize that that's an issue, and it is actually something we're looking at trying to fix, whether we have the operators actually make sure the automated announcement is announced a second time, because I believe there is a way for them to actually press a button and have it announce the destination again, or having the operator make the destination announcement manually.
Because sometimes they're just so low that even if you're standing right next to the train, you can hardly get an announcement. Yeah.
Or it depends on what part of the platform that you're on, because remember, we have 2 cars to each train. There we go. And that Type 8, that newer train, may be in the front or may be in the rear. So unless you know where that car is going to be all the time, and there's no way to set that up so that you would, sometimes you're going to be able to hear that announcement and sometimes you're not. We recognize that it's an issue, and you know, it's something that we definitely are working on.
Is there ever thought to like using a whistle system, like one whistle for B, 2 for C, 3 for D, something like that?
So,
because that would be like, yeah, much different noise than you're used to hearing in the, and that may catch your attention. Yeah.
I brought up something similar. I mean, you know, if you had someone in the station, you could have had someone basically announce train arriving is for Riverside or something like that, if you're going to do the whistle thing. And the answer that I get with that typically is that could be labor issues. So really having people
on the train itself. Addition of a whistle on the train itself. Like for the
so the train would emit a sound as it's coming in.
This is a big problem at Government Center, too.
Which is
the trains pull in, and they don't say anything as to what train they are. The trains pull into the station, they stop, and they're supposed to say, and when it works, it's great, it's fabulous. It says, this is the Riverside train. The trains are stopped, so yes, you have the fan noise, that's true.
As a person who has to rely on the very same thing that you do to actually utilize the system, I feel your pain. I really do. I've complained about it for ages. Enough sleepless nights kind of doing the exact same of complaining that you're doing. I think that really there's a way that you guys can all assist in this process of really trying to improve this obvious discritical issue. And one of the ways to do that is by contacting customer service and filing the complaint. 222-3200.
I go through Harvard Square quite a bit, and I use the 86 bus, and it makes the announcement. However, it does it exactly at the same time when they're lowering the steps. You know, that thing that goes beep, 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 beep. You can hear the voice, but you really can't hear.
So one thing about buses, unlike the trains, and maybe it would be nice if the trains had this, is the destination announcements on buses actually loop. So if you don't hear it the very first time that the door is open because of other noise or something like that, the destination is going to be announced again. The destination of the bus is only going to be announced when the bus is stopped, and at least when the doors are open. Maybe you might be on the bus, but you would have been on the bus because A, you just decided to jump on without making sure what bus we were on or something like that. In the event that for some reason you don't hear the destination announcement, or you don't want to wait until it loops and says again, Route 86 service to Sullivan Station, ask the driver.
Sometimes buses will pull into the station. There is no room right where the bus is supposed to pull up. So it pulls up in the next lane. Now, if that bus is pulling up in the next lane, there's no way in hell I'm going to hear the announcement.
That's right.
Right. If I'm standing at the curb waiting for the bus to pull in, and there's another bus idling there, I don't know that other bus is pulling up in the in the next lane. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, it sounds like you're talking about Quincy Center.
Yes.
That example would be Otis Street, for example. Yep. There are so many routes in and out of there all the time, but they don't pull up into consistent locations.
Right. Has the T considered any kind of use of technology so that you can tell when the bus is coming? I ended up spending $50 one day on a cab because I stood where they told me the bus was supposed to come in, only to find out that there was a sign that said between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. that the bus left from a different location. I had no way of knowing. Even more importantly is to be able to find the vehicles that you need. And the buses...
Personally, I think if maybe there's a way that they could utilize space so that buses that are going to certain areas stop in one place. I don't know. I mean, it's just the way that they kind of designed that bus bay. It's just, unfortunately, not a lot of space. But it doesn't solve the problem of being able to know which bus... you know, you need to get on. I mean, I've been a victim of that.
If that bus is in the second lane, I don't know that it's come in. I have no way of knowing that that bus has come in. Just me personally, as much as I'd love indoor navigational assistance through South Station, more important to me to get to the buses I need to get now.
You know, when they're going to do construction so that, like, between North Quincy and JFK, they're going to be routing
shuttle buses. They're doing it today.
They're doing it for the next 4 weeks. I just happened to hear one radio announcement. So I let people that I knew in Quincy know. But most of the time, and I don't know if you find out because you're a T employee or not, but we never know. And when I've asked about it, I've been told, well, they put written announcements on the train seats.
But they also make announcements in the stations as well.
No, they don't. Yes.
They do, actually.
Not before it happens. You find out on the day of. Sighted people find out several days earlier.
And I know this is especially true of, like, the 71 bus from Harvard Square to Watertown Square, is that the sync on the announcements for the stops are, like, it'll announce the stop as the bus is driving past.
That is very true.
It would be nice if they could, like, find a way to make sure that, like, you know, the announcements are done as soon as it leaves the previous stop, so you have enough time to react and press the button to let the driver know you wanted to stop at.
Yeah.
Stop that's announced, especially if you're unfamiliar with the route.
So the timing of stop announcements definitely has been addressed before. And one of the things that the T tells people to do is definitely contact customer service. So if you know that there are specific stops that are along your 71 route that are being announced too quickly.
See, I don't know, and that's when the problem comes, because I'm, like, just listening for it to announce one stop. I don't know what the stop is before that.
The 66, it announces, like, Auburn Street, and I don't even know if it is a stop on Auburn Street, but there is one at Vernon, and I know it because it, you know, is pretty much going past it as it's announcing Vernon Street. You know, that's one of those big sort of stop announcement problems.
Now, does the driver have control?
Isn't that a GPS?
No, the driver does not.
That's a GPS. Okay. Those are all GPS, right?
It's based on time. And not the operators, but there are ways to actually kind of adjust the timing.
It's based on time.
Like, it's based on timing, which is the reason why some stops may be announced right at the stop. There's ways in which they can adjust it so that it actually happens at the right
spot. Moving right along, and then nobody got off the previous stop. That thing is just going. It's happening quickly. And by the time it announces one, it's coming to the other, as opposed to maybe if it's made a stop and it's gaining momentum again. I think that's at its worst. Is when it's not too busy and it's going by two or three stops.
So really the best way to do this is if there's a way for you to kind of identify what stops are kind of going by, because I know when they first started it, there was one at McClellan Highway and Revere Street that, you know, it would say Revere Street and it's, I'm ringing the bell and the operator says you pass it. If there are situations where you recognize that it's announcing a stop early, these are things you want to kind of contact customer services about, let them know, and give them the opportunity to actually try to adjust the timing so that it's accurate.
On the MBTA website, you go to like the bus route and have a list of all the stops in order for the inbound or outbound, which, you know, they don't have the list of every stop, so I could like see what the stop was before.
Is that information available? Because
it's available on some apps, actually. Like for people who have iPhones, for example.
Yeah.
Like if you have Catch the Bus,
I've seen it.
All the stops in the
order.
In the order of departure are actually listed.
That should be available online also when you go to the website for MBTA.
Again, they typically have schedules. I mean, and maybe there is a way that they can have all the stops.
Yeah, the problem is the schedules. I mean, you can download a copy of the schedule, but it doesn't show.
No, it only shows certain stops. All stops are not listed. One of the things that the T is actually looking at is actually creating a more automated system. And one of the things that I've been told that the system may have the capability of doing is having automated schedules. I even threw in the whole trip plan bit. However, it's something very, very much in the planning stage. All I know right now is that it's been worked on, is it's kind of in the process. And again, you know, one of the things that I kind of pose to them is having a venue where people could look up transit schedules, similar to what they do in New York. New York, you have the ability to enter your route number, your starting location, your destination location, and it'll tell you when the bus will arrive at that certain stop. It also does trip planning, so you could actually get your trip planning directions via phone. I don't know when that's going to be implemented. All I can say right now is that it's kind of in planning.
There are a couple of issues that have been lingering for a while, the Green Line announcement and Janet's issue of the weekend announcement and Amy's the bus at such a station that pulls into the next lane. That seems to be a lingering thing that you know about that you say you've been bringing up to them forever and ever. So what would be the purpose of calling customer service for something that's not been addressed for years?
Short answer, there's a difference between Larry Hale saying that a problem exists and the rest of you guys who actually don't work for the system, who use it every day, saying that there's an issue.
I'd like to come back to the issue of wayfinding and particularly, you know, low-tech solutions. I mean, I have a smartphone, and if you have some smartphone app, eventually that would be great, but many people don't. I had the experience when I was at the Carroll Center of going down to South Station for three mobility lessons to try to figure out South Station. Could never do it. And I imagine I could eventually figure out South Station if that happened to be along a work commute and I was doing it every day. But I was wondering, you know, if it would be possible to think of ways, you know, simply, and this particularly for the more complicated stations with transfers, you know, your South Station, your Park Street, your downtown crossing, etc., putting in some type of tactile strips or something. Because the situation I have, too, is that I would like to use the T a lot more, but I don't commute downtown every day. I'd like to be able to use South Station 2 to 3 times a month, or Park Street 2 to 3 times a month. But the result is I don't use it at all, because there's just too much stress. And I think if somehow, I mean, you have to think very hard about, you know, how you put them in so sighted people don't trip over them, what material, etc., and so on. But, you know, we've gone to the moon. Stuff. It can't be that hard. At least at one or two stations as a pilot, you know, putting down some type of tactile thing. And I think if you did, then that was designed pretty well, then, you know, you could get down to the red line inbound, outbound. I mean, it's great to be doing stuff on the platform. That's good. But for a lot of us, getting to the platform is the real challenge. So any possibility of, and again, I mean, you'd have lots of people who would be
very interested in being guinea pigs for things like this.
You know, I remember a couple of years ago when I was planning to go to Japan and I was looking at the access features in their stations and the words tactile guide path came across to me and I'm like, no way, they actually do this sort of thing? And most of their stations, they have these tactile guide paths. On the sidewalks, they have tactile guide paths that kind of help for wayfinding. They have all of these things to kind of help people with visual impairments in navigating. I think you could actually look it up as well, but they have some really good things, at least in the East Coast. Typically, there's some fallback. You know, seniors are going to trip over it. People in wheelchairs don't want it, whatever you have the case. However, there have been transit agencies that have experimented with it, and at least I haven't heard any complaints about it. BART in San Francisco Bay Area, a couple of their newer stations actually have the tactile guide paths that at least lead you from the entrance to the fare gates, to the stairs, and stuff like that.
Finding the stairs, I think, or the S-legged, particularly, I get off at Braintree a lot, yeah. And you get off the train like, okay, let's see, depending upon which way they pulled in, which way do I go to get to the escalator or the stairs or whatever? I mean, just even that kind of...
I like the idea of guide paths. Dave, we talked about this before. You know, it's something that I would love to see happen. Again, I think it's a difference between me saying we should try this and you guys as a community basically saying we should try this. You know, you definitely would have my support.
I just want to clarify with you, Larry, whether the long-range plan inside the stations is to have train announcements made on the overhead loudspeakers, or is it to have them made on board loudspeakers that are in the train car itself?
The arrival time announcements are actually being made on station platforms via overhead speakers. The same speakers that you hear the next train to Alewife is now approaching slash arrive. The arrival time announcements will be in the stations itself, not necessarily on the trains.
Okay, and my final comment is you say call customer service. I wish we had more time to talk about this, but biggest waste of taxpayer dollars I've ever seen. I mean, when I call them now, I document the calls on my computer. Who I spoke to, Daytona, talk about. There's never even so much as the courtesy of a response. I'd be happier if they didn't exist and I knew I couldn't reach anybody, then at least I know my best people are there. But to talk to some very polite young lady who majors in polite, and nothing happens. I think that's worse than if that whole department didn't even exist.
I've had to call them myself, and for every one bad person you have, there's probably...
Is there an effective way and a proactive, positive way to have an impact with the T? Are we best off to write something? Calling customer service is one thing, but we never know whether that goes anywhere. Is there a way that we can collectively and individually address things with the T with some hope that things will get addressed and also offer ourselves as a resource?
So, Amy, if you would take the complaints that people from Viabug actually kind of have, draft like some sort of letter kind of voicing some of those issues.
Easy to do.
I can pass it off to my supervisor. I mean, unfortunately, okay. That's the best I can do. You know, they want me to run with it and right. Kind of see what I can do to kind of help or whatever they want me to do,
yeah.
I can do okay. It. But
well, that's certainly a start. I mean, I'm just trying to be effective here. I think, because I think we could all complain for the next, you know what I mean? And that's not going to do much good here. I want to be proactive and helpful.
Is there a newsletter for the other thousands of people who are not in this room to find out, say, about the code for your station, for the whatever it is that's happening? Perhaps a newsletter for accessibility.
There's information on the website. If you go to Accessible Services from the MBTA website and click on Department of System-Wide Accessibility, there's a link called Access in Motion. Anything of import that typically happens is put up there.
Does it exist anywhere on the MBTA website or someplace else? Descriptions of stations like, for instance, South Station, if you walk into the Atlantic Street entrance, you'll be in a food court and to your right will be a lift station. Does that exist anywhere?
It doesn't.
I would think that would be a very worthwhile endeavor to be able to give a sort of mapping of stations. And that wouldn't cost necessarily, I mean, that would...
Well, it would cost O&M.
Yes, it would certainly cost something, but I'm just thinking to get some funding for that, because that would certainly help you. When I go into an unfamiliar station, if I know that if I go in X entrance, this, you know, the inbound sign, the trains are on the right, and the, you know what I mean, the outbound trains are on the left, and whatever.
Well, you would have to know which exit you're going through,
right,
which would take like a number, a lettering system, which actually is done in Japan, and I must admit it's rather helpful. And you'd have to have that information in some sort of means so people know what's what. So whether that be Braille or whatever. Like I said, if you want to write this stuff down, like I can pass it off to people and go from there.
Okay.
You know, I know that sometimes a customer service thing can be a pill. I get it.
Well, I just don't think it goes anywhere.
Yeah,
the reality is that's what...
In defense, I can say that I disagree with that, because I had one experience where I got on the 51 bus and there was no audio on the bus.
Yeah.
And I just happened to know where the bus stopped, so I got on my bus. And I called in, and the CSR that took my complaint said I'll pass it on to bus operations. Mm-hmm. While I was on the bus, there was a call on the radio to all 51 drivers to check their audio. That we brought back no one had.
It
does go someplace.
Yeah, sometimes it does,
I know we like to think we all...
Sometimes it does go places. I think one of the issues is whether people get back and let you know what happened as a result of the issue. And that's probably the concern. But the reality is, that's what you got. You know, if you go to Metro, they're going to tell you to say Metro in D.C., they're going to say call customer service.
There are two kinds of issues. There's the one where you're on the bus and the audio isn't working. That's an immediate issue. But then there are the more long-term issues we've been talking about here also. Customer service isn't going to help me with the fact that the bus lanes in Quincy Center Station don't allow me to get on the bus I need some of the time. Those are more systemic issues.
And so for accessibility complaints, what happens is when someone files like any sort of accessibility related complaint, those complaints not only go to the appropriate department in which the complaint is regarding, but it also goes to the Department of System-Wide Accessibility, where someone does indeed monitor and make sure that the complaint goes to the appropriate place to get sorted out. I understand that sometimes they're not getting back to people saying, here's what happened. But, you know, in the background, something is definitely happening. You know, someone talks, you say that, no, someone's not making a stop announcement, for example. You know, that goes to bus operations, specifically the garage that houses that bus. A copy is also forwarded to System-Wide Accessibility Department to kind of make sure that the process is actually followed through with.
I guess one thing I would suggest then is that if indeed there are things that are happening that we may not be aware of them, maybe one thing is that the team may need to do a better job of letting people know what's happening. I had no clue, for example, that on the southbound at South Station, you know, that
customer assistance
area was even there. Now I'm going to go look for it.
All of this information does actually appear on the website. I know, so if you do go to mbta.com and click on accessibility at the T, go to the Department of System-Wide Accessibility's website. It does actually have a little write-up about the CAA.
Mm-hmm.
And if you click on the access information link, any sort of updates that we have are typically put on that.
Do you have a Twitter? Page. Do you guys do Twitter at all?
We do not.
You just moved the store to Downtown's Crossing. It used to be in Back Bay. And a whole lot of services now are consolidated in that one location. When you call up the T and you say, can I get the number for that store? I'm sorry, we're not allowed to give out that information, which is enough to piss off anybody. I sent a friend of mine who comes in the train from Fitchburg down there twice, and both visits, their computer systems were down, so she couldn't transact her business. Can you get the team to please release the phone number?
You can try, but you don't know whether it's going to get anywhere. That's, you know, if that's the way that they want to do it, it's the way that they want to do it. But so for people who need to renew their blind access cards or any reduced fare cards you may have, there's a one-stop location for that now. It used to be Back Bay, so now it's at Downtown Crossing.
But the question is, you go there on the Red Line, and now you're on the Red Line platform. Where is that store?
If you're familiar with the Downtown Crossing Concourse, it's actually
located close to the fare gates that are near the Chauncey Street entrance to the station.
So here's my question. So once you have the accessibility area, would it be a situation where you could go to that area and call the call box and have someone come and bring you to that store?
Conceivably.
Is that something that's legitimate for that?
Conceivably. That would fall under reasonable request for assistance.
I guess the other thing while we're talking about that issue, I don't choose to have a blind access pass. I choose to pay. One of the recurring issues I have is the machines, that the audio doesn't work. You know, I press 5 for audio and I get crackle, crackle, and then nothing. It's very frustrating. I've missed more than a few trains because I've had to try to find a machine where the audio actually worked. And I've called and complained to customer service. I've done my due diligence and called and complained. And 2 months later, the same situation continues.
And that was even the subject of a Globe article, no?
I know, I was in it. Do you know how often they actually check those machines?
Well, I know definitely after the article, we had a bunch of monitors actually go out and check it. I know that occasionally we have access monitors that are specifically looking at accessibility issues. They're riding the buses, seeing if the stops are announced, riding the trains, seeing if people who use wheelchairs are actually getting assisted when they're supposed to. One of the things that they sometimes do is actually check the FVMs at the stations as well.
But you have a lot of stations and a lot of machines, so yes. I understand it's a huge issue, but boy, I mean, it's great that they put in the audio. It's wonderful that that's available.
But when you can't find the right state, you can't find the right one that works, it's a problem. I get it. I know if it's happening at Quincy Center, I can have them, I can talk to the person who runs the monitoring department and have them check that station to make sure that they are.
I'm going to be going through on Monday. I'll let you know.
Yeah, those are machines that clearly have to be restocked, empty of money, restocked with tickets. They're being maintained on a constant basis. And I'm sure that the people that do that maintenance have a checklist of things that they need to go through to make sure that are functional and that they need to do. And maybe it's just as simple as adding that
to the checklist
step in the maintenance process. You know, it shouldn't be a separate
function.
It shouldn't be treated separately from all other maintenance of that machine. It's part of the overall maintenance of the machine, and it should be the responsibility of the people who are checking it daily or multiple times daily. For all of its other functionality, it should not be treated as a separate issue. Do you see what I'm saying?
I see exactly what you're saying. And it's something that makes sense, as they're kind of refilling the machine. Why don't they just kind of check those things to make sure that it's worth
adding another step to whatever form they're filling out, because I'm sure they're documenting what they're doing, and it may be that simple.
I don't know who comes and kind of checks the cards and stuff like that, but I'm sure the money guys aren't going to be checking.
Yeah,
to
no,
see
not
if it
the people that empty the money, but I mean, those things are
those machines have to be serviced, I would assume.
Yeah. They're getting serviced, and they're subject to a lot of use and a lot of abuse, and I'm sure they're getting serviced on a very regular basis.
No, it's something that's worth checking out. I mean, again, it's something that I can bring to people's attention and see what their thoughts are regarding.
I know you're not here to deal with the ride at all, but I just want to ask you, the new screening process has come in for applicants, new applicants, as well as renewing the ride, I think July 1st or something. Do you have any impressions as to how that has worked so far?
The in-person assessment?
The in-person assessment.
I don't believe that the in-person assessment process has actually begun yet.
I thought it was January.
Yeah, I did too.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.